It's insane how nervous I am. It's insane how much time has gone by. And I kind of feel like sooner or later, that'd be worth the conversation too. I don't know. Is it weird that, I'm still sort of processing that. I'm legit still processing the moment in time from my last podcast to now, and why I haven't recorded since then. So this is me, not necessarily processing. Like I said, it's so weird. I'm trying to find the words of what I can even call this transition, because I don't know. I think the last podcast may have been in March. And before that, it may have even been 3 months back before then. And, a lot happened. A lot changed, to say the least. I know a little bit of what happened is when my father passed, and me switching careers and me wanting to mature the content. Even in reality, it was a lot of it that me wanting the content to be presented in a certain way that it just hadn't been yet, and I was not satisfied enough to keep business as usual. Now, I will say this for anybody, just super, super, super sidebar. Anybody who wants to be successful, these can't be excuses or reasons to trigger you to stop. Because in the midst of the grind, in the midst of doing something, these patches, or whenever you stop, it doesn't look too much different than quitting, right? Like, oh, and I didn't quit. Yeah, but sometimes your break, there's so much space in between. It does just as much damage as quitting, just like in any relationship. So I would say that this part of me is not the greatest example of what success should be in this specific area, because while I have some very great reasons, I was heading in a direction that I allowed the momentum to stop or slow because of those reasons. So even if I didn't quit from the outside looking in, it sure looked like it. You know, how can you progress when you stop, when you take a break, when you pause, right? Either way, I think that it's so much that will have to be said. But I'm excited about taking this step. And this is the flip side of what I said is not a good example of success. The flip side is, just like being a perfectionist can make you stop, and stopping looks the same from quitting when it comes to progress, there's also, on the same time, that when you're ready to get back up, those same perfectionist scenarios or concepts or the beliefs can stop you from starting, because you did stop and you're like, too much time, and this is when you just gotta do. I think the problem with most of us nowadays is that we want to do without consequence, whichever way that means. And I think that sometimes if you're willing to do something, you gotta be almost as dedicated to the results as you are as dedicated to the consequences. Because nobody has a problem with talking about grinding, right, for certain results, from successes. But there's a flip side of that in when you talk about the concept of the consequences of your actions, which are tied to the journey. So sometimes the consequences are what they are. Like, even my consequences for coming back after this time, there's going to be a... And whatever that curve may be, if I am, again, ready to progress, I have to deal with that consequence. And sometimes the consequences of our actions will keep us from starting over or getting back up, because we want to find a way to try to circumvent or try to get away with it. And I think that the desire to not face your consequences is the reason for a lot of things plaguing this country, a lot of things plaguing man in general, from a lot of reasons of divorce, a lot of reasons in being a deadbeat father, a lot of reasons in abortion, a lot of reasons in relationship, just a disagreement and people coming back and saying you're right or I was wrong. You know, I think that we just struggle to, I think that man just by design somehow, I don't know, we legit struggle with choosing our consequences. And I think we spend so much time and we create so many, I think that concept of the road to hell is paved in good intentions. I think sometimes some of the center blocks on that road is built on man trying to avoid the consequences that they've earned. So we create other evils because one of the most unnatural things in life you can do is do something without a consequence. You know, there's a consequence for everything. Like, you're going to reap a harvest regardless. But weirdly enough, it seems like we're willing to go to the depths of any decision to not face a consequence. To literally, like, think about it. There's arguments of just to the point of, I'd rather kill a child and deal with the semantics of if it's a child rather than take accountability and face the consequence of me having unprotected sex, of me getting pregnant, you know what I'm saying? Which that I know that's a cascade of conversations. Depending on who's listening to this, I know that might have been like, wait, but you know, don't get me wrong, it's not as easy as I make it seem, but some of these things are simple. And some, you know, and not without, you know, going into the huge range of what I just said when I talked about pregnancy or abortion. In reality, we still make a choice. And sometimes the choices we're making is to try to avoid a consequence that is natural and in order of the actions that preceded it. And I know that's tough. It's cool to be back. Yes, yeah, it's weird because even when I'm, you know, on social media and people, you know, be like, oh, I missed you guys when they're doing the live. And it's like, man, that's weird. And I think it's even more weird, you know, recording a podcast and saying, man, you know, it's been a long time where I missed this. And even though I think it's a little different, I miss the opportunity of giving myself the time to actually share my full thoughts and things and not have the pressures of trying to, you know, squeeze it into 120 characters, which is a task to put out a complete thought in a short amount of letters and characters is an art that many have. But in that attempt, again, you know, to deny the consequences, in that attempt, you risk the reality of being on the surface or typecasting, or like, it's just anything, but I digress. I mean, honestly, man, I'm just glad to be back. I'm just glad to be able to have a conversation on my terms and on my time, and if whoever listens. And if no one listens, I at least got the thought out in a more genuine space, because, you know, on social media, you're going for instant gratification. You know, building and creating a podcast requires so much post, and it's so much that goes into before it's even presented. Is that this may be one of the very rare authentic opportunities to be honest without trying to get, don't get me wrong, there's propaganda in regards, but recording this, I'm legit just trying to get this stuff off of me, just get it out of me. You know, I just want to try to inspire, encourage, and edify somebody listening that they're not the only one that has these thoughts, that they're not the only one thinking like this, and that it's okay to be, you know, where you are. Now, I know you're gonna ask, you know, okay, you know, what does this have to do with fathership? Well, one of the biggest parts of fathership is the reality that you can't be a great father without working on the man. And you can't work on the man without having these type of conversations, without trying to self-dissect, without or self-assess, or just challenge yourself with a different perspective, you know. So, you know, my favorite part of my podcast previously was I would always love to start with some kind of conversation or some type of soundbite, just right out the gate. I'm just throwing you into a conversation. Because this is my form of action, right? So, like, in a Marvel movie, the first scene, somebody's fighting. Like, so this is my first scene. You're getting all these thoughts. And then we slow it down and we give you, we break it up and we give you a little more to chew on in smaller bites. But you come right in. So that's my favorite part of the podcast, is opening and starting you out. Just raw into a conversation. Because that's sometimes just how my brain works. But without further ado, man, it's going to be a cool show. Today, I really just want to, I thought it was important to at least acknowledge the fact that I haven't been recording, and a little bit into why. And that, like I said, the why behind why I haven't recorded is still being processed, but that's the bits and pieces. Shout out to my son, by the way. He's producing this whole joint in post. The instrumental that you guys are hearing is 100% him. The editing and additives and the show will be completely produced by my son CJ, which is what got me to actually hit record. This is another mechanism to inspire my boy to validate his skills and let God use him to push me. You know, there's been so much that's happened since I first started recording. I'm in a whole nother industry. I'm in a whole nother person. My skills are finally being used. So there's so much that I'm excited that we'll talk about. But in the fashion of building, I'm not going to slam it all into this one. It gives me I remember something that you could tell, like, when somebody's excited, what they'll do. But I'm going to try my best not to do that. But without further ado, man, it's been a while. It's an oldie but a goodie. Let's go ahead and hit y'all with that fathership project intro. And then we'll get back to the show. I made this podcast for my sons. This podcast is not political. This podcast is for the people. It's for the fathers, it's for the sons that will be fathers, or the sons and the daughters that do have fathers. This podcast is for men. You are listening to The Fathership Project.
Daddy, I like this.
I'll start this episode with a story. My father-in-law was literally like the Alexa or Siri of the Bible. I'm talking about, you ask him a question, he could give you the page number, the paragraph. He could speak it to you in different translations. My father-in-law was the man with that Bible. It was amazing. it was amazing how committed his memory was to the word. Which is also a blessing to say when you talk. I mean, for me, I want somebody to say this about me, is that when I think about him and when I miss him, I miss that I used to be able to call him and he knew the word. I think that concept there alone is huge. Like, man, I wish my pops was still here so that I could call him and ask him about the Bible. But unfortunately, you know, he had to go home to glory. But anyway, this story about him, he had a church a long time ago, and you know, he went through sicknesses and situations where he just wasn't pastoring anymore. And it was always funny because he loved to preach, he loved to teach, he loved to talk about the word of God. It was for real, it was legit one of his favorite things to do. So any chance he got a chance to do so, he let it rip. I'm talking about when he would preach, he preached on 17 different concepts. Cause it was like he was preaching like he didn't know if he was gonna be able to preach another day after that. So he would give you every lesson. You'd learn about the resurrection, then he'd be preaching about forgiveness, then he would be preaching about, you know, speaking in tongues. He would be preaching about, like, you'd get 14 lessons because he was so excited to be there. He would just be teaching. And this moment reminded me of that because I'm excited that I'm recording. Y'all, like I said, psychologically, I can't articulate why I stopped recording, but I know it's something psychological that happened that stopped it. And me being able to do it again is a feat in whatever blockage was caused or whatever happened. So I'm excited, but I'm not going to do like my father-in-law and have 45 different podcasts in one, because I got so much loaded up in me. I'm going to make this a very, very clean and precise concept, man. It's so much going on, man, about that surrounding fatherhood or fathership. And I really didn't know exactly what to talk about. You know, like what is this long lost podcast going to talk about after so much time has passed? You know, so I'm excited. But in the spirit of not trying to do too much, because this will not be the first and only, and like I said, it's so much I want to talk about. I figure let's start off with something a little light, sort of light. Not, you know, it's got, you know, I ain't gonna jump right into the abortion conversation. If you follow me on social media, then you've heard enough anyway. So there's a conversation that's been happening for the last couple days, and it's about McDonald's. You know, it was a long story short. It was honestly, I've heard reports of it being faked, which nowadays social media is such a drug that I'm leaning towards believing that it was all a brilliant ruse for attention based off of real life toxicity and co-parenting. The concept was between a woman and a man who basically shared a child together with a woman who had multiple children, you know, had three other children with at least two other men. I don't think they got specific on the direct lineage of who belonged to who, but it was more than one, obviously. Son gets hungry, texts his pops, pops brings food. This whole conversation erupts about should the father, who knows the woman has multiple children, should he feed them all? And it's and one, it's interesting to hear so many people take the side of the woman when it says the man is obligated to feed all the children, right? It's interesting to see the other side of men saying that he should have just gave the little boy his own food. You know what I'm saying? He's not responsible for the child. And in the midst of all of this, I guess for me, I'm just sitting back thinking about all the dynamics that are happening in the midst of a parent pulling up once or twice a week to feed a kid that's with a woman that has other kids. And I think about it because I think about, you know, how many fathers have the opportunity to have full custody or have a more intense version of joint custody that choose not to because of the psychological standards that a woman is supposed to house the child. That a lot of situations in co-parenting, the father is the extra. He's the add-on, but the kid always lives with the mom. And when I first saw this story, I thought about it like, man, you know, I really think that this might be a conversation to have where the father contends for full custody. Because in real life, to help the mother, because she obviously can't financially sustain a home full of four children, and it creating more biases amongst the children because one child's father is more active than the other. But then I also thought about, man, you know, what if the dads were like, you know, it's not the mom's job to be the full parent, the full body parent, and let's get all together, because all our kids are brothers and sisters, we're all siblings. Hey fellas, this is the our children's mother's financial situation. She does get food stamps, but this is what we're going to do. Hey man, you know, this last couple years my kid has been hungry. Oh man, my kid has called me hungry, you know. And I thought about, like, man, you know, what if the fathers took full responsibility of not necessarily feeding each other's kids, but being fully aware of what their children and what, you know, what's needed in them coming together to make sure that wherever the mom falls short, they can pick up the slack. But then there's another part I thought about of, this is going to sound real wild, but, and this is behind why I think a lot of men say, nope, you just get your kid what they deserve, you know, and them other kids, you know, them ain't your kid. I think that we have celebrated bad behavior for so long, or there's so the father-mother dynamic is so lopsided in the perception of society, is that men only feel very, you know, validated by stooping to a woman's low or not allowing a woman to control them, right? So, oh, you're not with me, so you're not gonna make me, you know, feed your kids. And I'm thinking about how, I'm just thinking about how God desires us to lead. You know, just thinking about, like, how does God desire us to present ourselves as fathers to the woman and our child? And, you know, because that's his mother. I think about some of the situations that my dad and my mom had, and how, and this is weird and I'm not saying it's fair, but how my father responded to my mother's actions, how they impacted me. It's weird that even as a kid that had a stronger relationship with my mom, the way my father responded to her actions psychologically had more influence over my perception of him than it did of my mom, even if my mom was doing something wrong, or she was the initiator, or she was the aggressor. Psychologically, I always looked at my father to see what he did, how he responded, because that information was what I was going to take in how I was going to perceive him in the situation. It's crazy. It's crazy because I think that children don't hold their mothers accountable. And this is the thing. I'm not saying you should hold your mom accountable. I mean, it's kind of tough, man. But your mom was the pure vessel that brought you here. Your dad was the parts and the DNA, but your mom was the vessel that carried you. through the threshold for birth. And I think that that bond creates this, these, I don't know, that it creates these blinders where your mom can be irrational, but if your dad spazzes out on her, you will judge him and hold him accountable for his actions. And we very rarely will go back and be like, but my mom's just tripping. Especially as young adults. Now, when you get a little bit older, you start to see, understand that your mom is a woman as well as she's your mom. You start to say, oh yeah, my mom be wilding. But by then a dynamic could have been created between you and your father, like it was with me, where my whole perception of him was through the lens of how he made my mother feel. And it took a long time for me to see my mother as a woman. So then I was able to process some of their conflict a little bit better, but it still couldn't erase the years and years of perception that was being built based off of how he responded. So I'm thinking about that, cause I wanted to ask my dad something, man. Like, dad, let's keep it a buck. What if I told you that the way your son will see you is based off of how you respond to his mother, whether she's right or wrong? And is that enough for you to move differently, even though your pride may feel like you're kissing her butt? And do you think it's fair that a young man's perception of his father is based off of the interaction between him and the mother? And if that's not right, what do you think is a better way for a young man to perceive his father when he's living with his mother, or when his mother is alive and his mother and father's relationship is strained, or the child is outside of the natural habitat and design of a family, which is the father and the mother in the home? So yeah, I think I'm gonna end this show just like that. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Lord. I got a question for my dad. What if I told you that the perception that your son will have of you is what and how you treat his mother? And do you think that's right?